by and large, REITs right now are paying a 4.3% dividend on a market cap weighted basis, maybe closer to 6.5% on an equal cap basis. And so as a result, we like sectors such as single family rentals, manufactured housing, the industrial sector, you know, those that are really kind of have barriers to supply growth. And we also are seeing value in a lot of the small and mid-cap REITs because they do pay premium dividend yields.
Hello and welcome to the REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Borkson-Quito. My guest today is David Auerbach, REIT industry expert and the chief investment officer of Hoya Capital and Hoya ETFs. David is here to share some of his current thoughts on the state of the REIT industry. David, great to speak to you again on the podcast.
Sarah, great to be here. Thanks again for having me.
So first of all, can you start off by talking about the Hoya Capital approach to REIT investing, in particular its focus on income?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you look at the typical broader universe, we cover over 200 equity REITs. That includes 165 of the publicly traded REITs, 40 mortgage REITs. You know, this is across 20 property sectors. If you look at the typical analyst who covers 30 to 60 REITs, most of the large cap, we're trying to focus the skew towards a lot of the smaller mid cap REITs. So we think that there's a big undercovered sector there. You know, we focus on rules-based diversification as REIT specialists. And so we're focused on dividend income growth as well as the income side of the equation.
As you survey the REIT landscape today, what's your overall assessment in terms of operating fundamentals?
Well, it's no secret that REITs have been kind of the punching bag recently based off of this Federal Reserve policy that we've been experiencing with really no end in sight. But, you know, if you look at the pockets of distress that are out there, it's really entirely debt-driven, but the fundamental side of things have remained very strong. Now, we're going into earnings here within the next week or two, but if you look at the last quarter, the public REITs reported same-store property-level income about 10% above where they were pre-pandemic. And so many of these REITs have been preparing for winter for a long period of time, cleaning up their balance sheets, focusing less on variable rate debt. And, you know, for those REITs that were experiencing, you know, companies that had variable rate debt in a zero rate environment, that works great. But when things go the other way, that's when things get very troublesome. And so as a result, you know, many of those players that were sitting on the buyer's side of the table in the heyday are now really sitting on the seller's side of the table. And those REITs with strong balance sheets are now really kind of able to tiptoe back in there, seeing some opportunity. And in the same breath, those capital constrained players are kind of having to operate in this environment, you know, where the 10-year is trading around 470 and the Fed funds interest rate continues to rise.
So David, what is the value proposition for REITs today? And what are some of the sectors that you're most interested in right now?
Some of our thesis backs up some of the data that NAREIT has published, including your colleague, Mr. Pierzak, recently. You know, if you look at the valuation gap between public to private, it's still near its widest level it's ever been. And looking at the extended sell-off since mid-2022, REITs are basically about as cheap as they've been in the last decade, looking at a price to FFO multiple basis. And they're trading at a current 20 to 30% discount to NAV, looking at that versus private market valuations. By and large, REITs right now are paying a 4.3% dividend on a market cap weighted basis, maybe closer to 6.5% on an equal cap basis. And so as a result, we like sectors such as single family rentals, manufactured housing, the industrial sector, you know, those that are really kind of have barriers to supply growth. And we also, as we mentioned at the start of this, are seeing value in a lot of the small and mid-cap REITs because they do pay premium dividend yields. And we'll get more into that.
What are some of the ways that investors can access these sectors that you're mentioning via REIT?
Sure. So the Hoya Capital High Dividend Yield ETF is a rules-driven fund. We're focused on the income side of the equation. And so as a result, to walk you through the fund thesis, we take those 200 plus REITs that I mentioned, we run it through a rules-driven process where we separate it across 20 categories. And from that point, the goal is to pick out the highest dividend yielders with the lowest leverage names, with market cap really as a tertiary factor. So starting out, the highest dividend with the lowest leverage are what we call dividend champions. Then we pull out a sleeve of large cap names that have high dividends with low leverage, with 60% of the portfolio geared towards small and mid cap REITs. Again, high dividend yields, low leverage. The kicker is that we focus on a 10% slice towards the REIT preferred stocks. As far as I'm aware, REIT is currently the only REIT ETF that has exposure to both common and preferreds. And so as a result, by weighting with 70% of the portfolio geared towards small, mid-cap, and preferreds, we have a 30-day SEC yield of at 9.99%, an index dividend yield of 10.32%. And this is paid on a monthly basis. And so when you look at, again, like I said, overweighting mid to small cap, focusing on income property sectors, including those mortgage REITs, and looking at those preferreds, we are able to access some of these really gems out there.
And where do you see other attractive investment opportunities today in addition to these ones that you've mentioned?
Well, one of the big sectors that we focused on, and this goes back obviously to previous conversations that we had, is there is still a massive opportunity in the housing sector. Hoya Capital launched the Hoya Capital Housing ETF 3 years ago. The ticker of that is HOMZ, Harry Oscar Mary Zebra. And that plays obviously into a lot of the factors that we discussed before. The housing shortage, the supply-demand imbalance, the lack of home affordability, the fact that many homeowners are putting more money into their homes versus being able to go out there and buy new product in a 7-8% mortgage environment. So Homes takes advantage using the residential REITs. In addition, it has home builders, and then also with a big allocation towards all the other sectors that support the housing industry, including home furnishing, home goods like Home Depot and Lowe's, and then the service and technology companies such as Zillow, Redfin, Coldwell Banker, the mortgage brokers. It's a very diversified fund. And so, you know, we think that there's a major opportunity because we don't see the housing market right-siding itself anytime soon. And just with this way as a more all-encompassing way to play the housing sector, we think this is a really unique way to take advantage of what's going on in the residential market.
And David, are there particular strategies that you think are essential for navigating market uncertainty today?
Yeah, I don't think it matters if it's REITs or anything broad-based. The first focus of this is diversification. Whether we're talking about REIT or Homes, HOMZ, the rules-driven process forces diversification in that both funds have 100 names in it, but the largest allocation is 1.5% weighting per company. There's also a cap on a sector-by-sector basis. And so when you take out, with no single component above 1.5%, you're removing a lot of the, when I'm air quoting, risk out of the portfolio. And so, you know, we are able to back test this, and using scenario analysis, we're pretty comfortable trying to achieve, you know, this 7 to 10% dividend yield between both Homes and REIT. And then again, we're only talking 100 names here. And so really, it's with a diversified portfolio, if you look at REIT with that 10% allocation towards preferreds, that's 33 names. One name represents 1/3 of 1%. You know, it takes a lot to really kind of blow up the fund. But at the end of the day, diversification in the portfolio is the most important factor that's out there.
Excellent. David, we've covered a lot of ground, but is there anything else that you'd like to touch on right now?
As we've talked about before, REITs are the tortoise and the tortoise and the hare of your portfolio. Slow and steady wins the race. These management teams have gone through many cycles before. And what's different is that every investor that's out there is experiencing what we call this new normal, where rates have gone from 0 to 5 and change. The 10-year has gone from 1 to 4.7%. And you got to focus on the fundamentals. You know, we're about to kick off earnings season here with Prologis, Equity Lifestyles, and SL Green, and Crown Castle here within the next week, 2 weeks. And you just got to focus again on the bottom line. These companies, these ETFs have no control over stock price whatsoever. All we can do is put the blinders on, focus on the operations. The goal at the end of the day is to maximize revenues while minimizing expenses. And I think from an end investor's perspective, if you take out a lot of the noise and complication, investors want management teams to do 4 things at the end of the day: grow revenues, grow profits, grow guidance, and grow dividends. And pretty much by and large, that's been what's happening relatively across the spectrum in the REIT industry. And, you know, that which goes down will eventually come back up. Using your guys' data from NAREIT, you know, that public to private divergence has always reconverged, and the significance of that divergence kind of indicates how significant public REITs will outperform coming out of that trough. And so it may not be a 24 event at the rate that we're going, but, you know, stick to the fundamentals, focus on the bottom line and the end and goal of your investor. If we're long-term investors, trust these teams to focus on their long-term goals.
David, always good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sarah. Great talking to you.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode of The REIT Report, please subscribe or leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Mm-hmm.